Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. I can still hear, as plain as day, the cacophony of countless clocks hanging on the walls in clock stores I have visited over the course of my life. The tick, tock of the clocks and watches wound and driven by springs is so identified with a properly functioning timepiece that even clocks and watches powered by electricity often mimic the sound. Tick, tock. Regardless of whether or not you have such vivid memories or even have ever been in such a clock store, you no doubt can relate to the passage of time. We may usually think of time moving at a constant rate, but we can also speak of time flying when we have fun, or time crawling when we lie awake at night, unable to sleep, perhaps seriously ill, or maybe even at the point of death. David, the divinely inspired psalmist, whose words of Psalm 38 that we prayed earlier surely experienced such a crawling of time. Reflecting on Psalm 38, tonight we continue our sermon series on the seven penitential psalms with this fourth psalm in our series, very similar to Psalm 6, which we prayed and reflected on several weeks ago. You may wish to reopen your hymnal to Psalm 38 as we reflect on it. More than twice as long as Psalm 6, especially in detailing the physical consequences of David's sin, Psalm 38 seems to have the number of its stanzas determined by the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Like one other psalm, Psalm 38 is designated by a Hebrew term that is variously thought of as indicating its role in confession, as a petition, being used for praise, or being used for a memorial. Psalm 38 may possibly have come in sequence with other psalms related to David's adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband Uriah, but we do not know for sure either Psalm 38's specific occasion or the specific illness from which David suffered. Nor should we suppose that David's experiences are limited to what the historical books of the Old Testament record about him. We can safely conclude that David's illness mentioned in Psalm 38 was severe, like arrows sunk into his flesh and a hand pressing down hard upon him. That the illness caused David's family and possibly his false friends to withdraw from him. And we can safely conclude that the illness also provided David's enemies with an opportunity to charge David falsely and otherwise persecute him. In Psalm 38, David knew that he sinned. And David attributes to his sin his suffering of body and soul, the physical and psychological torment that seems to have taken him to the point of death. David's understanding of his suffering as consequences of his sin is not ruled out by Jesus' statement, which we heard in Sunday's gospel reading, that people who suffered from either a human or natural calamity are not worse sinners than anyone else. Indeed, by nature, we are all equally sinful in God's eyes. Whether we have broken his holy law one time, in what we might regard as the least offensive way, or whether we have broken his holy law countless times, in what we might regard as the worst way. Even if we had failed to keep his law in only one point, we are accountable for all of it. And so we deserve not only consequences of our sin, but also punishment for our sin. God's righteous anger and wrath should do far more than afflict our bodies and souls temporarily. His righteous anger and wrath should torment us physically and psychologically, now and for eternity. And so his righteous anger and wrath would torment us if it were not for his mercy and grace for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 38, David bewails his suffering, but he also exhibits a calm of weariness and of the confident expectation of rescue from afar. David acknowledges the depth of his sin and his own inability to do anything about it. David confesses his iniquity and is sorry for his sins. David paradoxically pleads to his righteously angry God for mercy and absolution. David knows that the Lord is aware of his longing and sighing, and David waits for or trusts in the Lord to answer him. That waiting is not so much marking the passage of time as it is confidently expecting and trusting God to deliver him. In Psalm 38, David lays out a number of reasons why God should deliver him. But ultimately, God only delivered David as God delivers us, because of his mercy and his grace, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. The God-man, Jesus Christ, knew no sin, but was made to be sin for us. Jesus Christ was forsaken by nearly all his family and friends for us. As we heard in tonight's Passion reading, Jesus Christ was falsely accused and stood silent for us. Jesus Christ bore our sin to the cross and there was forsaken, even by God the Father, the very punishment that we deserve. When we, led by the Holy Spirit, as we did tonight with David's own inspired words, acknowledge the depth of our sin and our own inability to do anything about it, when we confess our iniquity and are sorry for our sin, when we plead for mercy and absolution, know that the Lord is aware of our longing and sighing, and wait for and trust in him to answer us, then God, in his mercy and grace, truly forgives our sinful nature and all our sin for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. And God forgives our sinful nature and all our sin through his means of grace, that is, through his word and his sacraments. One of my fellow Kilgore Rotarians is a tax accountant, and today at lunch, I asked him if he was keeping his head above the water of his work, and he said no, that he was drowning, as you might expect a tax accountant to say at this time of year. You and I may know that feeling. In Psalm 38, David likens his sin to waters that threaten to drown him. And we can think of holy baptism, which in part indicates that our sinful natures should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that our redeemed natures should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As Psalm 38 may have been used in connection with a memorial meal offering that was intended to bring the person making the offering to God's remembrance, we can think of the sacrament of the altar, by which Jesus Christ is not only brought to our remembrance, but comes to be really physically present here in bread that is his body and wine that is his blood, for us to eat and to drink, and so for us to be strengthened and preserved in body and soul to life everlasting. In this life, we will still suffer both consequences for our sin and also other afflictions of body and soul, even though Jesus Christ has borne the punishment for our sin on the cross. Perhaps David's not detailing his illness helps us better apply his psalm to ourselves and our own afflictions. Like David, we may feel overwhelmed and overwhelmingly alone. And we may think that our enemies are going unpunished. But we can, like David, be like deaf mutes who neither pay attention nor respond to our enemies' false charges, but wait for or trust in God to deliver and vindicate us in his way and in his time. At the outset, I mentioned clock stores with their cacophonous tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Those stores were exciting places to be at the quarter, bottom, and especially the top of the hour, when all of the different chimes, cuckoos, and other sounds reverberated throughout the store. Psalm 38 never quite crescendos to that jubilation, but David, despairing of himself, continues to wait for or trust in the Lord. Like David, we too know that the Lord will not forsake us, that our God will not be far from us, and that the Lord of our salvation will hasten to help us until we rest with him in eternity in no time at all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.